You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring anyone who wants to listen the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined every week by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that today are coming to us live via live stream from Maryville, Tennessee. Yes, I said Maryville. Can't make this stuff up. And actually, they're on 100 acres there, donated by a great loving soul. So we can say live from Maryville on, in essence, the 100-acre wood, and we know where that's from. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. It's day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How can we not, you know, Mother, how can we not invoke Our Lady? Let me just refresh our memory. In our Catholic Catechism, Article 507 states, quote, at once virgin and mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church, end quote. So we go to Our Lady to bring us directly to her Son. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters. It's just a joy. We're so grateful to be here today.
Nice to be here. Yes. And Lent is a wonderful time. We just started yesterday with Ash Wednesday, and it's a great time of the year to really get closer to God, to really appreciate the cross and sufferings, what our Lord experienced for us, and that we should be willing to give back to him with all of our little crosses and sufferings that we have to endure. And I think this is a great time too, to meditate on his passion. A lot of people in different areas try to do the clock, the passion, with the one person will start in the first hour, one person in the second hour, 24 hours of the passion of our Lord, so that you have the passion being read the whole book every day in that area. And our Lord promised Louisa that those who really do that in these areas will, at least if two people, he says, would do it in these different cities and towns, they would be a lot of chastisement would be alleviated in those areas. So it's a great insurance plan. You want to protect your little village and your town, wherever you are, your city, get people to do the passion clock with you. So as I said, you go, one person does the first hour every day, then the next that you start, you shuffle it. Another person will start in the second hour, another person will start in the third hour, so that every day the whole Passion book is being read. Our Lord, Louisa, wrote this book after she had had experienced this passion intensely in her interior life. Saint Anibale de Francia asked her to do it, and at the time he was the ecclesiastic delegate on the matters concerning Louisa's writings. So she wrote it out of obedience to her confessor, Saint Anibale de Francia. And she says, it says here in the front of the book, she says, she wrote to Saint Anibale de Francia, and she says, I believe that if whoever meditates on them is a sinner, he will convert. If he is imperfect, he will become perfect. If he is holy, he will become holier. If he is tempted, he will find victory. If suffering, he will find strength, medicine, and comfort in these hours. If weak and poor, he will find a spiritual food and a mirror in which to look at himself continually and so become beautiful and similar to Jesus, our model. Jesus' joy is so immense when someone meditates on the Passion, on the hours of the Passion, that he would like to see at least one copy of these meditations being used in every city and town. because then it would be as if Jesus were hearing his own voice and his own prayers, which he raised to his Father during the 24 hours of his painful passion. And if this is done at least by a few souls in each town and city, he himself promises that the divine justice will be appeased in part and punishments will be lessened. She says, I would also like to add that the purpose of these hours of the Passion is not so much that of recounting the story of the Passion, since there are already many books which deal with the pious subject, and it would not be necessary to write another one. Instead, its purpose is to make reparation, to unite ourselves to Jesus in each of the different moments of his Passion, and with his own divine will, make a worthy reparation for each of the various offenses he receives and compensate him for everything that all creatures owe him. When you read these books, the Passion book, it's like you are placing yourself in the body of Jesus, experiencing what he experienced and feeling in his heart what he felt. It's all about his interior sufferings. There's many books written on his Passion about his physical sufferings. The beautiful movie put out by Mel Gibson, the Passion movie, tells a lot about his exterior sufferings. But here we're learning about his interior sufferings. And he suffered much more interiorly, he told Louisa, than exteriorly. He suffered so much because he loves each creature so much, each soul so much, that he wanted our souls to be saved. And he knew from all eternity that even though he would suffer immensely, many souls would still be lost. It says here further on, it says, in every city, town, and nation, let us form as many cenacles in which, so many cenacles in which these 24 hours of the Passion of our Lord are meditated and lived. Like so many living clocks, let them faithfully mark the hours of each day to keep Jesus company with our love, our reparation, and our gratitude. For he is not loved as he deserves. Indeed, his own children offend him and crucify him again in their hearts by closing the doors to grace, to the divine will. And he goes on to say, it happened on that one occasion, Saint Nibelet de France, she went to Louisa's house and recounted that he had taken what had taken place on one of his visits to the Pope. It was at the moment, at that time, it was Pope Pius X. And he gave Pope Pius, well, actually was reading it with him. He would frequently visit the Pope. And while with him, he said he wanted to introduce him to the book of the Hours of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he had been spreading at that time. So he read a few pages of it to the Pope, and specifically from the hour of the crucifixion. And at a certain point, the Pope interrupted him, saying, Father, this book should be read while kneeling. It is Jesus Christ who speaks. So I encourage you all, everyone out there, to read the Passion book during the month of during the time of Lent. It's good to read it all year round, at least a few minutes every day. But during Lent, you may want to read more of it every day. So it's not too late. We started with Ash Wednesday yesterday. You may want to get 24 people that want to read it every day. Some hours are longer than others, and that's a sacrifice. You take the time to read that. Some are very short. But you meditate on these certain hours. Meditate on the great suffering our Lord endured exteriorly and interiorly for us. But it's going to draw you closer to him, because many saints became in the past, even before the divine will was available for them to read, they grew in great holiness by meditating on the Passion. So, and you can get a plenary indulgence every day by making the Stations of the Cross every day. It doesn't say how long it has to be. You can make your own stations. But if you go to Mass and Communion that day and pray for the Holy Father and go to confession within a week or 8 days or so before or after that day, you can get a plenary indulgence. With the plenary indulgence, you can get it for yourself or for a poor soul in purgatory. You may want to get a poor soul in purgatory out of purgatory every day by getting a plenary indulgence. You can do that by doing the Stations of the Cross, or by praying the Rosary in a group, by reading the Scriptures for a half hour a day, or by making a holy hour. So there's different ways, and there's a little book that the Church put out on all the ways you can get a plenary indulgence. So I encourage you to pray for the Holy Father every day, so that you can get some souls out of purgatory too by, going to mass communion and doing the things that are required to get a plenary indulgence. So, and rosaries, of course, is very important to pray the rosary every day. You might want to pray it with your family. Remember Father Patrick Peyton, his motto was a family that prays together stays together. So pray with your family every day. If you teach children that from a very early age, you pray the rosary with your children when they're very young, they're going to grow up with it. They're going to want to pray the rosary. They're going to expect it. It's very hard when you wait till they're teenagers to try to get them sit down and pray the rosary with you, but just give it a try. Maybe it'll work with your teenagers too, and it'll help them and keep them out of trouble and help them to grow up to be better adults. So I encourage everyone to meditate on the Passion, to read the Passion on a daily basis, and to realize what Jesus did for us. And also when you suffer, suffering is so important. Unite your sufferings with His. Ask Him to suffer in your suffering, and your suffering will be become a divine act. He will do these divine acts in you, suffering in your suffering. What greater thing can we do? We don't want to waste our pain. We don't want to waste our sufferings, no matter what they may be. They may not be physical sufferings. They may be other sufferings, abandonment, desolation, darkness, dryness, and prayer. All kinds of little sufferings we have every day. You may stick a pin in your finger, a tiny little suffering. And it can become big when you say, Jesus, come suffer this little suffering within in me, and He will. He'll take over. He wants to relive His life in you, but He's a gentleman. He won't come unless you invite Him. So invite Him in every little suffering you have and everything you do throughout the day. And you're going to have a glorious day. You're going to have a joyful day if you do that. You'll have peace and joy in your heart always when you call Him in everything you do and think of Him throughout the day. Realize His presence within. And within yourself and with others too.
So true, Mother. To compassionate our Lord. I know Father Nuzzi says if we're limited with time, and again, some of us have more time, some of us have less time, to engage in the hours of the Passion, to really unite ourselves with Jesus' suffering, not in a philosophical way, but in a mystical way of really being there and compassionating our Lord. Again, this is stuff we don't understand at this time. That's why it's mysterious. But what a glorious opportunity we have. Again, Saint Hannibal de France, he had the insight, he had the grace to recognize what these hours of the Passion were. Of course, Saint Pius X cooperated that. So he was the front runner. Similar today, we're in the same situation. I mean, today is the church celebrates Saint Claude de la Colombière. I may have mispronounced his name, but he was the French Jesuit that authenticated the writings of Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, who again, through a private revelation, brought us the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And again, private revelations are so vital when authenticated by our Holy Church. But again, we have to be careful also, though, that private revelations do not add to or subtract from public revelation. Let me explain from the Catechism, which is the best explanation. Article 67 states, quote, "It is not so-called private revelation's role to improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help us live more fully by it in a certain period of time." And that's Article 67. So again, important if we put into the perspective and the job and the role that the mystic with those prior revelations plays. And again, that's exactly where Luis is. We receive the gift of living in the divine will through a private revelation, which has been authenticated by our Holy Church. And again, Saint Hannibal sort of can be compared to the Saint Claude of his time, where he was the usherer, the crier, the bullhorn for Luis's writings. I mean, it's just history repeats itself within our Catholic Church, mostly good, sometimes bad. So hopefully, we don't want to repeat that, Mother.
Yeah, we've had the Church already says, has already said that all of the writings that our Lord gave Luisa are approved by the Church. There's nothing against Church teaching in any of her writings. That's already been determined. Right now, the Church is just put her beatification on hold just because they want to clarify a few things that people are misunderstanding in the writing. Not that there's anything wrong with the writings, just people misinterpret the writings as ambiguities that they're trying to clear up.
before they beatify her, because once they beatify her and this thing snowballs, people, if they don't have these things clarified, they'll cause more confusion. So that's what the church is doing right now. I want to say too, before I pass it on to another sister, that Jesus doesn't have any need for us to meditate on his passion. We have need to meditate on his passion. We grow in holiness when we meditate on his passion. Jesus doesn't have need for anything, you know, but we need to love him. We need to live in his will for our sakes, and so that we can grow in holiness.
So true, Mother. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants us terribly. And that's a great delineation. But yeah, great day today for private revelations and for the church to accept that and to enjoy the benefits, because God has everything set up. He's got everything orchestrated perfect. Remember, Adam's first words were, I think something to the extent of, my Father, my Lord, the author of my life. So if God is the author of each and every one of our lives, he loves us so much, even though he's authored our lives, he's given us sort of editing capabilities. He says, okay, I love you so much. If you want to change it, go ahead. But I can speak from my own personal experience. Anytime I've tried to edit what God has already planned, I have fallen into the pit. So my admonition would be, let God's book prevail. Let's just be actors and actresses. That doesn't mean we don't have a significant part in this, but let's just do what our Lord intended us to do. And we're going to do that if we give him the option or the availability to thrive in our will and to direct our will and not vice versa. Because again, whatever I direct myself into a problem. Hopefully nobody shares with that. But speaking of sharing, Sister, I can't tell who.
Gloria.
Oh, Sister Gloria. She's off screen. That's why I couldn't see her. Hi, Sister Gloria.
Hello. Hi. Yeah. Yesterday we started the Lent. Whether we knew it or not, or like it or not, it started. And in all times in the Hebrew custom, they were wearing sackcloth and sitting in ashes to show the penitence, you know, to appease God's wrath. And yesterday we started our Lent with that ashes on our forehead. And usually, you know, we ask ourselves the question, okay, then what should I give up for this Lent? But then I think the real question should be, how will I repent and return to God with all my heart? And we know that, you know, during Lent, we have to fast, to pray, and to give alms. But then we got to realize that it's a call to a deeper change. And we got to return to God with all our hearts and, like, draw closer to God and seek him with greater intensity. That's why we are fasting. That's why we are praying. That's why we are trying to give alms and sacrifice ourselves. I mean, we can also, like, try to recognize how comfortable our life is, and then just cut down the little excesses, and also cherish the time that's given to us. You know, a lot of times we just kill time, or, you know, we are on the smartphone or watching TV, and we are wasting a lot of time. And it's to escape from loneliness, because we don't want to face our, like, hungry hearts. But we are trying to fill up our hollows in our hearts by other stuff, like friends or hobbies or video game, work, or etc. But we know that only God can satisfy our hungry hearts. And that is why during Lent, he is calling us to desert, to meet him, to find him, so that our thirst can be quenched by his love. We can also let somebody go ahead of us, or listen to friends who are suffering, or give money to charity rather than just plunging on ourselves. You know, these are little things or sacrifices that we can think of to offer to God during the Lent. But like Mother said, really the greatest thing that we can do during the Lent is to imitate on his passion. And I got this passage from volume 7. This is from November 9th, 1906. And Jesus tells here how he's so pleased and consoled when someone is meditating on his passion. My daughter, one who meditates continuously on my passion and feels sorrow for it and compassion for me pleases me so much that I feel as though comforted for all that I suffer in the course of my passion. And by always meditating on it, the soul arrives at preparing a continuous food. In this food, there are many different spices and flavors which form different effects. So if in the course of my passion, they gave me ropes and chains to tie me, the soul released me and gives me freedom. They despise me, spit on me, and dishonor me. She appreciates me, cleans me of that spittle, and honors me. They strip me and scourge me. She heals me and clothes me. They crown me with thorns, mocking me as king, embitter my mouth with bile, and crucify me. While the soul, meditating on all my pains, crowns me with glory and honors me as her king, fills my mouth with sweetness, giving me the most delicious food, which is the memory of my own works. And on nailing me from the cross, she makes me rise again in her heart. And every time she does so, I give her new life of grace as recompense. She is my food, and I become her continuous food. So the thing that pleases me the most is meditating continuously on my passion. So this was the word from Jesus directly, that how much he is pleased when we meditate on his passion continuously, not only during the Lent, but just throughout the year, daily, even if it's only for five minutes or 10 minutes, just think of his passion, how much he loves us and what he had to go through out of love for us. And when we do that, you know, we are untying him from the ropes and chains. We are wiping his face from the spittle of the spittles. We are taking those nails out of his hands and feet. We are taking out the thorn from his head, and we are clothing him when he's naked. So, Jesus said that also we get all this merits as if we suffer all this passion with him, and the merits that we healed him, God. So try to meditate on his passion and just immerse ourselves in the love of God and how much he loves us. And he will truly help us to transform ourselves. Thank you.
And you know what you just said about what Jesus says, again, in a mystical way, this is real. This is not metaphorical. This is not a storytelling. This is actually happening in a way that we cannot understand. So that's how we really have to really give ourselves to our Lord, to have faith, to have confidence, and to have trust in what's being said here. And again, of course, we have to be obedient to Holy Mother Church. But the Hours of the Passion, in its Italian translation, already has multiple imprimaturs in the Hilapsat, so there's no issue with its vitality. Sister?
Yes, so as Mother was saying, it's so important to like meditate and reflect on the Hours of the Passion. And as Sister Gloria was saying, it's really important to make time to even meditate on the Hours of the Passion every single day, because I don't know exactly which part of the books Jesus said, but Jesus said, like, you can get like a lot of holy souls out of purgatory, with every time you read the Hours of the Passion, and you can also save a lot of poor sinners from going into hell. So that's just the beautiful part of these books. And when you read this, you really understand in a greater depth the great love that God has for us. So I like to start out just reading a little bit from the fourth hour, from 8 to 9 p.m., the Eucharistic Supper from the 24 Hours of the Passion. And when I read this, it really reminded me of how important it is to have like a spirit of gratitude, to thank God from dusk to dawn, and like in everything, even in the little sufferings or cuts or bruises, like physical or like interior sufferings or whatever sufferings, just to like thank God for it. And when we unite our sufferings with Jesus' sufferings for any intention, then we can save a lot of souls that way, because the devil wants us to like complain about our sufferings. But the beautiful thing about reading the hours is that you realize that Jesus already suffered Jesus and Mary, they suffered so much more than we will ever suffer in our lifetime. So whenever we're suffering anything, we shouldn't think that, oh, Jesus doesn't understand how I feel, because that's not true. Jesus knows all our sufferings much more than we will ever know. So I'll just read a little sentence here. My sweet love, always insatiable in your love, I see that as you finish the legal supper together with your dear disciples, you stand up and united with them, you raise the hymn of thanksgiving to the Father for having given you food, wanting to repair for all of the lack of thanksgiving of the creatures and for all the means he gives us for the preservation of corporal life. Just like placing your I love you, I thank you, I adore you on every means of corporal life he gave us, like the water, the electricity, a roof over our heads, because there's so many people in the world who don't have those things, who are dying of starvation. So it's important to always have a spirit of gratitude, not only during Lent, but all year round.
That's so true. You know, before we go to break, ingratitude, Jesus articulates to Louisa, that was one of his greatest pains in his humanity. And we can be careful not to repeat that. So we give grateful thanksgiving to God and everything, especially when we first wake up in the morning. You're listening to Radio Maria, Catholic voice in our home. I'm so glad Sister Gloria opened up the Lent and the sacrifices, and I'm going to explain a bit later how we can tie that into our obligation, really, our Catholic obligation to Radio Maria. You know, one of the things, just doing some research on St. Claude, again, who was the usher of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque's visions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I also found out God has such a wonderful sense of humor. So these visions were given to St. Margaret Mary in her convent of the Visitationist nuns. You can't make this stuff up. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you once again, Radio Maria. Again, I want to thank God above all. I want to thank Radio Maria for this opportunity, a Catholic voice in our home. And, you know, we can all show our appreciation for all that God has done and is doing in his holy church and in the outskirts of that church to help bring us closer to himself, and one of which we're a bit impartial. We'll say that, you know, the greatest, if not the greatest, just based on what Jesus says, is this gift of living in the divine will, which is the culmination of everything that he's given to his holy church for the last 2,000 years specifically. And that's exactly what he's doing. You know, one of the things that I didn't mention was Article 66, and I'll go back to that. But right now we have a need. Again, Radio Maria is 100% listener supported, which means it's not influenced by who gives and how much they give. I remember, I don't know if it was Rockefeller or one of the big bankers said once, a really, really famous quote, they said, "I care not who make the laws as long as I have control over the money." Because knowing the money is going to dictate everything that happens. And again, that's what happens also in media. You'll see that a media organization will be bought out by another conglomerate, and that conglomerate has different ideas, and all of a sudden the whole scope, the whole tone of the broadcast changes, because again, the owner has the money. The owner dictates what goes on. Again, the owner of Radio Maria is Our Lady and our Lord, so we have no worries there. But there is a need, as they are in this world, not of this world, to make sure that the bills are paid. And Sister Gloria gave us a great opportunity, and what a great opportunity we have too. We're in Lent, where we're asked, the church asks us to give up something. It's not us asking you to do the same, but we can do this all throughout the year. And one example that I use is coffee. I used to buy coffee, even where I am here in the boondocks of Pennsylvania. I mean, a cup of coffee is $4. And I know from business perspective, it's the greatest profit margin there is in business. I mean, it costs like 8 or 9 cents to make that cup of coffee. But again, I have nothing against coffee in businesses, but if you think about that $4 a day, and if you just refrained from buying the coffee and just made it at home, again, you know whose water you're using, whose hands are touching it, what coffee's being made, you can save, in essence, $120 a month. That $120 you can actually allocate toward Radio Maria. What a great way to not only have the better coffee, to be safer about who's handling it, but you're actually doing your job. We all can't be on microphone. We all can't be in the back office doing all the technical support and the editing and all the marketing. We cannot all do that, but we can all give spiritually. That we can all do. And God has actually allowed many of us to be able to give financially as well. And if we think we really can't, again, think about this sacrifice during this Lent. There used to be this Operation Rice Bowl, where you used to take the change in your pocket from every day and just put place in that box. And by the end of the month, you'd be amazed how much money is there. Again, this is money that might be lost, might be frivolously given away, dropped, who knows? But here it can be given for one of the greatest purposes in today's times, and yet we will not feel any burden of doing so. So again, it's not giving more, but it's giving smarter, or it's a smarter way to balance our money. So please, if you can, go to radiomaria.us or simply call 888-408-0201. That phone number again is 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. Please give what you can. And anyone making a donation, whether they're listening live or they're listening to the archives, we will send you free as a gift a Luisa Picaretta relic card, which has a piece of Luisa's clothing. I know how incredible that sounds. And we'll give it to you as a gift from the School of Mary on behalf of Radio Maria. So it's just so beautiful that we're in this situation. And again, we can't ask God for anything greater, because he's given us the best. Mother, I wanted to just, I started with Article 67 only because it defines the role of the mystic, and that helped us with St. Margaret Mary and also helps us with Luisa. But let's talk about Article 66, which is really probably the greatest apologetics that we can possibly use when confronted with a naysayer, someone who says, well, you know, nothing new, you know, there can't be anything new, so don't tell me about something new. Well, St. Pope John Paul II called it a new and divine way of holiness. St. Hannibal de Francia called it a new and divine way of holiness. They use the word new, but it's just an explication of what's already been given. So that's Article 66, which states, quote, "The Christian economy, therefore, since it is the new and definitive covenant, will never pass away. and no new public revelation is to be expected before the glorious manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet even if revelation is already complete, it has not been made completely explicit. It remains for the Christian faith gradually to grasp its full significance over the course of the centuries. End quote. So it's a flower. The Catholic Church is a flower for 2,000 years. We have it memorized. We know exactly what it looks like. Then all of a sudden the divine will comes and it's a magnifying glass. Wow, look at that flower. Hey, wait a minute. Look at that photosynthesis. Look at the fuzz on the petals. It was always there. But now we can see it through the gift of living in the divine will. It's spectacular. It's here for the taking. And God will not invalidate our free will. But I think he's encouraging us all to embrace it, to look into it, to test it, like St. Paul says. Right, Mother? Mother, yeah. I have to say this too. Who knows better about the need for money and fundraising? 35 years as the right-hand sister, for lack of a better phrase, to Mother Angelica on EWTN. You saw incredible miracles. You saw the providence of God. You saw the miracle of God. Again, we're asking for similar miracles for Radio Maria. We don't want them to be bogged down with troublesome worries such as, how is this going to get paid? How is that going to get paid? It must get paid, and we can all play up. If we all do a little bit, problem solved. But the problem is we don't all. So a few are asked to step in the breach for many, and that's just what has to happen. Mother?
Yes, Mother Angelica used to tell her TV audience, if everybody gave $1 a month, they would be able to keep the network on the air.
Sure.
So if many people give even the little that they have to offer, and prayers, of course, prayers are very important too, that a lot of people prayed for us. But I saw, you know, Radio Maria continue on. But I saw so many miracles take place when people gave to Mother. They were so blessed. The five families that paid for the big monastery that she built, all our Lord told her that he would help those who help her. And he wanted her to build him a temple, and he would help those who help her. And all five families got everything that they gave duplicated within like a year or two. Everything they got it doubled. So, you know, this one man that used to give Mother free groceries since she moved down to Birmingham back in 1961, I think, 60 or 61, he gave them free groceries. She just had this little grocery store. He began to have these big food whirls all over. He got very, very wealthy. And someone asked him, would you ever think of not giving Mother Angelica and her sisters free groceries anymore? He said, I'd be afraid to stop, because God blessed him so much when he gave. So the more you give, God gives you more, much, much more in return. Yeah. So we give everything, money, love, everything we give, our charitable acts toward others, we get much more in return. But, you know, these little sacrifices we can make during Lent, like you talked about coffee, Peter, might be ice cream, might be something that you don't need, sweets. You might want to give up sweets for Lent. Don't spend any money on anything with sugar in it. You're going to help your waistline. Plus, you're going to be helping your soul by giving up something you really like. It might be smoking. It might be some vice that you have that you should give up. You get used to it during the month of during this season of Lent, and give that money that you would spend on whatever that could be that you should be not partaking of. For maybe it'd be better for your health if you let go of a few things that you're buying or paying for that are unnecessary and that really are not good for you. It may be entertainments that you're partaking in that you don't have to partake in. They're not really helping you spiritually. Maybe it's better that you don't spend money on those entertainments, wherever it may be, you know. So, you know, I encourage you to make the sacrifice, to be willing to go the extra mile, and you'll be happier. You'll be happier when you give up these things that are really not healthy and good for you, and then you'll be able to give the money to Radio Maria to continue to be on the air. It touches so many souls. So many souls are transformed through the programs on Radio Maria. You want to help them to stay on the air.
Couldn't have said it better. That's why Mother said it. Hello, Sister Jacinta.
Hello. So I'm just going to continue with just some parts of the fourth hour with the Eucharistic Supper. And the next part, I'm going to read just a little bit. It's about the part when Jesus was washing the feet of the apostles. And this is a beautiful example Jesus is giving to all humanity of like serving others and just And it really reminds me of how Jesus is the divine beggar. He's knocking at the door of all of our hearts. And I know there's a famous painting with, like, it's nighttime. Jesus is holding a lantern, and then he's like knocking at someone's door. So that's what he's doing with all our hearts. So Jesus says, my child, I want all souls, and prostrate at their feet like a poor beggar. I ask for them, I importune them, and crying, I plot love traps around them in order to obtain them. So with every single soul, Jesus is constantly plotting these love traps. And it's so important in that way to be faithful and attentive. Like, how is God showing me his love today? And how am I reciprocating the love he's giving me? Like, was someone helping me today? Was someone kind to me today? Then he's like, thank you, Jesus, for that. And throughout the day, God shows us his love in many ways. And a great example during Lent, we can use to give God, like, back the love that he gave us. Of course, we say, Jesus, I want to love you with your same love. But also with all these sacrifices we do, we shouldn't do it just because we have to, but we should be fasting and doing sacrifices out of pure love for Jesus because we want to. And we don't just do it for ourselves or our own sanctity. We do it on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future, which makes the sacrifice even more powerful. And it's so important during Lent to just open the doors of our heart wider to Jesus and just let the light of Jesus penetrate in our hearts to see which part of our hearts are not completely for Christ yet, and just to let Jesus enter into those places in our hearts and just to give him everything.
Beautiful. It was well worth the wait for that second half. Thank you, sister. Sister Faustina, how are you? I think your microphone may be off, though. Maybe. Well, that's one of the ones that we have to return. Yeah, nothing yet.
Okay, what about
here
now?
Here we go. Yes. Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, just continuing on what we've been talking about, the Passion and Lent, and how it's a time for us every year to, you know, to like come back to thinking, meditating and participating in the Passion of the Lord, and also remembering how much he suffered for us, to not forget how good he's been to us. And by not forgetting, then we're not going to commit sin, because every time that we commit sin, we are nailing him in the cross. We are participating on the side of the Jewish people who were crucifying him. So it's really important that we don't never forget about that. And I wanted to share from volume 11, February 2nd, 1917. And it says, the world has become unbalanced because it has lost the thought of the Passion. My daughter, the world has become unbalanced because it has lost the thought of my Passion. In darkness, it has not found the light of my Passion, which will illuminate it. And as it will make known to it my love and how much souls cost me, it might turn to loving the one who has truly loved it, and the light of my Passion guiding it will put it on its guard against all dangers. Man has made an abuse of everything, because in everything he has moved away from the one who could help him. This is why the world has lost balance. It behaved like a child who no longer wanted to recognize his mother, or like a disciple who, denying his master, no longer wanted to listen to his teachings or learn his lessons. What will happen to this child and to this disciple? They will be the sorrow of themselves and the terror and sorrow of society. Such has men become, terror and sorrow, but a sorrow without pity. Man is getting worse and worse, and I cry over him with tears of blood. When I was reading this, it really like hit me, because we can see all around the world what's going on, and we tend to blame him about what is going on, but it is our human will who is always going against his divine will. And when we forget and we lose sight about that, it's just we start seeing each other with rage and, you know, with jealousy. That's why everybody's fighting over silly things like money and things that don't really matter. Like, when you I always think, like,
Okay, you spend all your life on earth fighting for this, not forgiving. And then when you encounter the last moments of your life, the true and the real waste of time that you spend like during your lifetime is like, oh my goodness, you know, like I don't really want that for me. I want to spend my life really focusing on God, loving Him. And how Mother says, like, just forget and forgive, like move on, like don't rush into things because it's not worth it. Like, not forgiving somebody that can take you maybe a minute, maybe in purgatory, it's going to take you a whole full of time to, you know, to repair for that. So it's better really to be encouraged to really let things happen. Like, and it's how Mother says, like everything comes from God. So if you get, you know, abused by somebody, like emotionally or like physically, or like, you know, like somebody's taking advantage of you, just think about the love. Even it's hard, I mean it's hard, but just try to think of the love that God is putting in there to help you grow in holiness, to help you forget about yourself, forget about why you're right. Like normally when we feel offended, we jump out of like trying to defend ourselves and we get mad and we like just try to fight and this is my own rights. That's what is happening also in the women movement, you know, like this is my body, this is my life, I can make the decision. And they're killing babies, they're killing the life that God is putting in their wombs. So if we will be able to see all this, we wouldn't be in this situation. But again, this is happening for us to open our eyes and every time of the year, meditate and live the passion of the Lord, you know, like put yourself into that position in his crucifixion, like try to be crucified with him in the scourging at the pillar, try to be scourged with him at the pillar and so on. And you will never lose sight of what he has done for you. And by doing that, you love more, appreciate more. Don't take everything for granted. Every Lent is really a mercy of God every year to have Lent to remember at least once a year, if you're not already, you know, used to it, his passion. But we are aiming to not only on Lent or like Easter or like Christmas or all your life, because we are called to do that and to really appreciate this life on earth.
That's amazing. Thank you, sister, for that. I have no comment. I'm just trying to process everything. Mother? Oh, I think your microphone's off also, Mother.
No?
Okay.
There we go.
I was just reading here one of Louisa's letters. She says, good sign, my daughter, crosses. You say that you have many crosses. Good sign, my daughter, crosses are divine jealousies. And with coins that our Lord gives us, his jealousy is the great love he has in making us of us his saints. He takes everyone away from us, and he himself, God, maker and martyr, with little crosses and with his own hands, works our souls and makes of them his images. What love for us, as we can see, through little and large crosses, I am similar to my dear Jesus. But do you want to know why you feel the weight of your miseries? Because you're many, many times you do not try to be together with Jesus and to convince yourself that he is already with you. And you do not unite the pains of Jesus with yours. Before the pains of Jesus, yours lose hardness, empty themselves of their weight, become small and almost smile, because they love to adorn our souls with the same ornaments as those with which we see Jesus being adorned. What pleasure, what joy to be able to say, you have suffered for me and I for you. Together with Jesus, pains change their look. Miseries disappear. And from pains, miseries, and weaknesses, the most beautiful conquests, celestial riches, and the strength of God arise. And the very angels and saints envy our lot. So the suffering, the crosses are gifts, great gifts from God. Tremendous gifts from God because he loves us. He pulls things away from us. Sometimes he pulls people away from us because he wants our whole hearts. He's a jealous lover. He wants us all for himself. We were made to know, love, and serve him, to be happy in this life and the next. In heaven, it will be between, just like we each have our own God. God will be so personal and love each one of us in such a personal way. It's like he'll be all for us and we'll be all for him. We have great things to look forward to.
So let's not mess up. Let's live totally for him and take all the little inconveniences he sends, all the little crosses and sacrifices we have to make. Let's take them and run with them and say, Jesus, you come suffer this in me. We talked about making sacrifices so that you can give some money to Radio Maria. Well, I'll just say, Jesus, you come make the sacrifice in me. You come stop drinking coffee in me or stop smoking in me. All these little things, he will do it in you and he'll make it much, much easier if he does it.
I wanted to, like, having spoken of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, I wanted to share about this double great novena. This is also a private revelation received by Sister Natalia. She's from Hungary, and it's received the imprimatur from the local bishop in Hungary. So this in this message Jesus gave to Sister Natalia, and he requested all to pray the double great novena to the hearts of Jesus and Mary for 9 consecutive first Fridays and first Saturdays. I mean, we all know about the devotion of the 9 consecutive first Fridays, and few know about the 5 consecutive first Saturdays, which is given by Our Lady of Fatima. But very few know about the 9 consecutive first Fridays and first Saturdays. And this is what Jesus said to Sister Natalie. Through my daughter, Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, I gave the world great promises, but because of my infinite goodness now, I give much more. If people want to gain the benefits of my promises, they must love and venerate the Immaculate Heart of my mother. The greatest sign of this veneration will be to receive Holy Communion on 9 consecutive first Saturdays, and in the same way on 9 consecutive first Fridays. After a preparation and a true repentance, their intentions must be to console my heart and at the same time the Immaculate Heart of my mother. And, you know, the authorities of church ask, you know, why nine first Saturdays when the Blessed Virgin and Fatima asked for only for 5 first Saturdays. And Jesus said to the sister, the request of my mother for 9 Saturdays is a sign of her humility. And consequently, she did not consider herself worthy of receiving a devotion that is equal to mine. My request is a sign of my love. I cannot bear the idea of demanding more for me than for my mother, who is united with me in love. So like you said, Peter, before, the private revelation, when it's received imprimatur from the church, from the authorities of the church, is that the greatest value. Yes, so I just wanted to share about this great double novena of to our 2 hearts of Jesus and Mary.
Great. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's the explication again. You know, Baltimore Catechism states we're created to know, love, and serve our Lord. And now we know to do all 3 of those. The explication now is we need to say yes to his offer to live in his most holy divine will. Then all 3 are accomplished. So again, everything makes sense. It's all in order. We're the only ones that are disordered. Mother Lesworth.
Yeah, just encourage everybody to make a good Lent, make your little sacrifices and penances, and ask Jesus to do them in you. And they will be doing those divine, you will be allowing him to do those divine acts in you, which will transform your soul, make you shrink, and him get bigger and bigger in you every moment of your life.
Amen. Well, again, let's collectively, through and with Radio Maria, let's help them build a boat in the desert. We're going to call it the SS Queen of the Divine Will. It's one plank at a time, one moment at a time. So start saving up for that Lenten Mariathon beginning on Monday, February 26th. Love, everyone. Thanks be to God for this opportunity. Mother, thank you for your vocation and for everything you're doing. Sisters, I love listening to you. I can listen to you all day long.
Okay. God bless you. God. Thank you.
God willing, we'll be back next Thursday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.